This month's sermon series is focused on seeking the welfare of others, and we'll come at this topic today through the lens of the Great Commission, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. In this scripture, we'll see that Jesus sends the disciples out to all the nations. They're sent to people who are different from them. They're sent to places of need. They're sent to be tangible expressions of God's love and good news. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. I'll read verses 16 through 20 of Matthew chapter 28. And if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to that passage. Again, this is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And let's listen now for what God's Holy Spirit would have us learn. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. Now, this scripture makes it clear. It's on us. We are called to carry on the ministry of Jesus, a ministry that seeks the transformation of the world. God's not expecting this to happen in this community here in Raleigh or anywhere else in the world without our participation. But this can't happen without us getting involved. We have to get involved in the Lord's work. We have to look out our own windows and see what God is doing in the world. And that means we also need to be committed to the places where we live and work. Now, this is true for individuals and it's true for churches. If we're not paying attention to our place, to our geography, then we may miss out on what the Lord is doing. Now, how often do we ask where God wants us to be? Probably not enough. Usually we focus on what we should do. And yet in the Bible, God rarely commands what to do without also saying where to do it. You know, we live in a highly mobile world. Our society tells us that we have the right to live wherever we want. And often, we choose to live where we're comfortable. Very few of us would choose to live in places that make us uncomfortable, that are rough around the edges. You don't find many people who want to settle down in a really poor community where great needs are visible everywhere. But two of my friends, Bill and Evelyn, did this very thing. In 2002, after graduating from seminary, they moved to a neighborhood in North Charleston, South Carolina, which had one of the nation's highest rates of childhood poverty. That community lacked many of the resources that we take for granted, including access to good grocery stores, convenient bank locations, and solid educational opportunities for children. God had placed on Bill and Evelyn's hearts a desire to share the good news by seeking the transformation of that community. And what distinguished their ministry from the very beginning is that they didn't move to North Charleston and start acting like saviors. They knew that God was already working among the people in that community. Their job was simply to listen to their new neighbors and then to encourage and empower them. And to get started in that work, they partnered with a local congregation in the neighborhood. And then over the years, they have collectively work together in transforming that community by investing in childhood after school programs, youth leadership development, and even housing and economic development. Their approach to ministry, I think, resembles what Jesus did. See, he often went to places where people refused to go. Think about it. He attended dinner parties with the kind of folks who were often snubbed by the rest of society, like prostitutes, tax collectors, and a host of other sinners. As a Jew, Jesus ventured into the land of the Samaritans, where no self-respecting Jew would dare to go. And on top of that, he spent time talking to a woman who had a checkered past. See, Jesus went to the places and to the people that most everyone else ignored. And he found them in small towns across Israel and even in the big city of Jerusalem. He ministered to the lonely, he comforted the grieving, and he touched lepers who lived on the edges of society. Most people kept their distance from folks like this, but not Jesus. Now, when we look back on Jesus' life, we realize that he didn't travel very far to find the places that were ignored by other people. In his lifetime, he traveled no more than a couple hundred miles from his birthplace. And the majority of his ministry happened in a small area that we know of as Galilee. This is where Jesus invested himself. And although it's a small area, the work that Jesus did there helped change the world. Now, Jesus wanted his followers to, he wanted his disciples to follow that example. And so after the resurrection, he gathered the disciples back together and he called them to live as he lived. He called them to go into the places where no one else wanted to go. In our scripture passage, he tells them to go to all the nations. The word that appears as nations in our English Bibles doesn't mean the same thing that we might think of nation states or countries. When Jesus uses the word nations, he was referring to something more like foreigners or tribes of people who were different from us. Jesus wanted his disciples, he commissioned them to go to these places, to all these nations, to the places where they would feel uncomfortable. This is how Jesus wanted to expand the reach of the gospel. It started with Israel, but now it was spreading to all the nations, to all people. And verse 19 lays out the marching orders. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." But I do want to point out that's not a great translation. The Greek word used here for go is the word parouthentes. That's a participle, meaning that it really should read as you go. In other words, as you go about your day, make disciples of all the nations, because they're right here. Now, that's certainly true in our community, isn't it? We have people from all over the world living in this area. There are people different from us, too. There are people who may even make us feel a little uncomfortable by the way they dress or the way they act or even the way they talk. But we shouldn't ignore these people. We shouldn't ignore those places that make us uncomfortable. Our job is to share the love of God with everyone, which we can do as we go about our daily activities, as we go to work, to school, to the grocery store, sports practices, family outings, or running errands. We are called to share, which is where discipleship begins. In John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Sharing God's love in the places where we live, work, and play, of course, is no easy task. And I think the disciples knew this. When Jesus took them up the mountain, Matthew tells us in verse 17 that they worshiped him, but some doubted. They heard Jesus' commission. They heard his call. But they had concerns. And there's good reason for this. The book of Acts, for example, reveals that Jesus' followers faced the reality of being thrown in jail for going into certain places with the good news of Jesus Christ. And living today for Jesus can be just as dangerous, especially in some parts of the world. It can be a dangerous thing. And that has a way of sparking doubts. And doubt is a natural response to hearing Jesus' call. Sometimes Jesus does call us to go to uncomfortable places. And sometimes we're not even given a map of where we're being called to go. Kind of reminds me of those old medieval maps where serpents and dragons were placed on the edges, along with a Latin phrase. That Latin phrase reads, "Hic sunt dracones," which means, "Here be dragons." And I think the point's clear. Going somewhere new, somewhere different, can feel dangerous. It can feel threatening. But the good news is that Jesus has promised to be with us. Jesus has promised to empower us with his Holy Spirit. We're called to be his witnesses, but we can't do that effectively if we don't first have a deep, deep concern for the places where we live. Now, I'd like you to think about our community. Imagine for a moment that you're looking out a window that gives you a view of our entire area. What do you see? Where are the places of need? What places are being ignored? What places are being neglected? I suspect we all can think of places close to here where the love of God needs to be shared. But what are we doing about it? Well, have you taken the time to develop a relationship with your neighbor or your coworkers that goes deeper than talking about the weather or the sports? Have you ever considered volunteering with an organization in our community that works with children? Communities for Schools is an example. That's a great place to serve. Have you thought about finding ways to support people who are going through divorce or dealing with an addiction? Now, I share these examples as a way of helping us identify some places where we can get out from the familiar, safe walls of this church and go where other people may be unwilling to go. And I hope these examples can help you think of ways that you might invest your time and your energy into our community. You know, how might you share the love of God and the good news of Jesus Christ where you live? In other words, how are you making disciples? Sometimes I think we get complacent with this job and expect other people to do the work of making disciples. But understood correctly, it is the job of all Christians. Jesus commands us all to go. And so as we go about our daily lives, we should be actively engaged in sharing God's good news and God's love with all the nations. We should be sharing it with people who are different from us. We should be sharing God's love in places that might make us feel uncomfortable. But it's hard to do this if we're not looking beyond our own windows, when we choose to remain where we're comfortable, we can miss out on what God is doing. Now, when Jesus commissioned his disciples, he laid out two specific jobs for them. He told them that as they go about their lives, he wanted them involved in baptizing believers and teaching them his commands. Now, up to this point, Jesus had been the one who had done all the teaching, not the disciples. But now that job is being given to them. In other words, Jesus was telling the disciples that their job is to continue his ministry. And that's our job too. And that's why it's so important that we pay careful attention to what Jesus did and what he thought was important. And then we should go and do likewise. And we can continue his ministry in the places where we live, work, and play. We can make investments in these places. We can go to people in places that are ignored, neglected, and even written off. And we should go because God values every person in every place. And we don't have to go very far. Continuing the ministry of Jesus starts right where we are. And that's why we need to be committed to this community. We need to learn as much as we can about our community, including the demographics, the assets, the needs, and so forth. We need to support our community. We need to value the community. If we don't value it, it becomes so much easier for us to think that certain people in this community don't really matter. And if we think that certain people don't matter, it becomes easier to ignore them or mistreat them or just write them off. But God matters everyone. And that's why Jesus sends us out. He calls us to share the love and good news of God as we go about our daily lives. And sometimes this will take us to uncomfortable places. And yet, it's in those moments that disciples are made. God wants us involved in this work. God wants us involved because it leads to the transformation of our world. And so as you look outside your window, are you paying attention to what's happening in the community? Are you paying attention to what's happening in the world and listening to where God wants you to go? Where is it that God wants to send you? To whom is God sending you to share his love, his grace, and his good news? Would you pray with me? God, it is a great privilege to know that you trust us to carry out your mission in this world. We pray that we would not be complacent with this, but instead we would boldly go into the places where your love is needed. Help us live with a commitment toward the places and the people where we live, work, and play. Strengthen us so that we might live as Jesus lived and that we might do the things he did. And we pray this in his name. Amen.